Often vulgar, always explicit, and sometimes funny.
Slap box. Slap box.
Welcome to Slapbox Podcast. This is episode 708. I am your host, Josh Albrecht, recording once again inside the Slapbox penthouse. My trusty sidekick, Agent Fox Mulder, the three-legged feline, is in the other room, looking out the window. We are just days away from yet another anniversary of this podcast. As I guess next week I'd get into it more since it's officially after. I don't know, before. Then it's also my birthday, so I don't like to... I like to forget the age part. I mean, I'm going to take my day off of work. It's a Tuesday. St. Paddy's Day is, of course, 2012 when we first recorded this. I didn't upload it until April 20th. until we had a couple recorded so I could, bank a few. I had no idea how I was going to do it at that point. And shit, it was so many years ago now. I'm trying to remember, because I was driving to Edwardsville, Illinois, from Washington, Missouri, which is over an hour drive. And was it an hour and a half? Fuck, I don't even remember. It's been years since I've driven to Edwardsville. And I think I was just doing it every other week there for initially. And recorded a few in advance, two or three. I don't remember how many I had before I actually posted. We had one that we didn't actually post. That was just Shelly and I fucking around beforehand. And fuck. 15 years. That's fucking insane. Been doing this. That's a long fucking time. Long fucking time. Or 14, fuck. I was thinking it was 2027 for some, the caffeine hasn't kicked in yet. it's 10 in the morning. I just took a Red Bull. It takes 10 minutes for it to hit the bloodstream, so here in a minute, you're going to hear me get all amped up. 14 years will be in a couple of days. It's still only 13 years currently. come next Tuesday, it'll be 14. My ability to do math is not great. You know, I could just hit re-record. But why would I do that? I don't mind. I say enough stupid shit on here all the time that I might as well just let it fly. Anyway, trying to remain positive, even though, you know, terrible times in the world. The U.S. is back to starting forever wars. Great. great goodness. On the plus side, it is St. Paddy's Day next Tuesday. And I love me some St. Pat's. I love me some corned beef and cabbage. I'm gonna, I had thought about, possibly, because I did take that day off work. I like to always take my birthday off, you know? It's it's a me day. I get to do whatever the fuck I want. I don't want to go to work on that day. Years past, I used to go up to, off on Lindbergh, go to, Helen Fitzgerald's was one I used to go to, but man, it got to a point where it was just you had to have reservations on St. Pat's for Helen Fitzgerald's. I like Helen Fitzgerald's. I haven't been there in a long time. And then of course it's Maggie O'Brien's now, but it was O'Reilly's, John Goodman's bar. John Goodman owned it. It was O'Reilly. Was it O'Reilly? Fuck, I don't remember. Whatever it was before Maggie O'Brien's. I'm blanking. I went there for a long period of time, but then it changed to Maggie O'Brien's. And then Maggie O'Brien's is just, which is fine, but it's mainly for the drinking, you know? And I don't care so much about the drinking. I'll have a Guinness with my meal, but it's more about getting the corned beef and cabbage. I don't really feel like driving the last few years. I've just said, fuck it, and like made corned beef and cabbage at home. And, I got so much, I have worked so much on the penthouse here that it's just so much better to just stay at home, you know. I watch movies on the projector, hang out with Agent Fox Mulder. And, I that's what I plan on doing. I'll get my corned beef and cabbage on Sunday, or the corned beef, yada, yada. And maybe I'll just wait till Monday to pick it up. That way I don't have to, worry about freezing or anything. But a couple days in the fridge probably would be all right. Anyway, I am looking forward to that and cooking it up. That's my big plans for that day. So I imagine next week on the podcast, I'll talk a little bit more about the 14-year anniversary. Fucking crazy. Another year and this podcast will be able to get its permit to start driving. Speaking of working on the penthouse here, I am starting to make some progress on painting the shining Overlook Hotel pattern above the cabinets in my kitchen. And I had finished taping last week by the time I had recorded the podcast. I had taped up the stuff for the inner red hexagons. And for whatever reason, I was saying hexagrams for a minute. I am fried at this point. I'm getting old. But the hexagon. the inner red hexagon. I taped that off last Friday, and I have currently, throughout the week, been painting on it. I did two or three coats. I was just thinking about it before recording this. I think it was two coats of primer. So each night I would do a coat of paint, and two nights I did a coat of primer. I was debating on whether or not I needed a third, but I'm pretty sure I just did. Kept it at two coats of the primer because I had to cover up the lines that I had drawn because there was already primer on the wall. I had covered all that red to make it easier to paint, but then drawing all the lines in pencil, and I drew some dark-ass lines. I had to cover up those lines. So I had to, after taping, I had to do more primer. And I did two coats to that to cover up some of those lines. And there were some spots where I was, I don't know if those lines, I wasn't sure. Are those lines going to show up or not once I get the red on there? But two coats appear to be enough as I went and did the red. And really after the first coat of red, I think it was pretty not noticeable. Pretty not noticeable. That's a weird. I could have worded that better. After the first coat, I didn't notice that so much, but I ended up doing three coats of the red to get a nice look on there. And I think the three coats was the magic number. It looks like it's decent. And once I was done painting last night, or not once, I let it dry for a good hour or so or more before I started peeling some of the tape. I got some of it peeled last night because I just wanted to see how crisp my lines were and such. And then, of course, this morning I peeled more of the tape off. I still got about half the tape up on the wall, maybe a little less than half the tape on the wall I got to still pull off. I think it's starting to look good. I mean, there are red hexagons now on the wall. Before I took the tape off, it was just red blobs on the wall. Now, there were a few areas where I fucked up when pulling the tape, but I did a pretty decent job so far of pulling the tape without fucking much up. I had gotten red as well, like, because there was, I started taping like everything off to where I could just hit it with the roller, but I knew that was going to be a real pain in the ass to peel all that tape off. So I eventually got to the point where I just taped off a little bit around the hexagons, and because I wasn't too worried about getting red in areas that I knew I was going to paint over anyway. I mean, I was trying not to do that, but I did end up like painting a little bit of red, getting red in some places I shouldn't have. But that's, you know, I'll just cover it with some more primer to get rid of it. I don't think you'll notice in the black. The orange, that might be a little bit of a problem. That was it. It's nice that it actually looks like a design now. I mean, I guess with the pencil drawings, there was a bit of a design, but like once I put the paint on there with the over the tape, it just looked kind of like just blobs. So I had like 3 days there where it looked like just blobs on the wall, blobs of red paint. But now they're actual hexagons, which is quite nice. There was definitely areas I had issues with, like, of course, where it meets the ceiling, like, there was, it bled out, underneath the tape, because it's hard to get, you know, tape really well inside those corners. I had one little area where I peeled some paint off, which I was surprised I didn't have more, but I had one area where it peeled a little bit of paint off the wall where I'm going to have to put a nice little bit of primer over that. I think it might have even taken some of the paper off the drywall, which isn't good. there's a little area, though. I don't know that it'll do. I don't think I'm going to go up there with the putty and fill it in kind of thing. I think I can just fix it with a little bit of primer. I don't know. I guess I'll know after I put some primer on it. I do not want to have to fucking patch any holes, that's for sure. It's not really a hole, though. Again, it's just... I don't know. Let's see here. I can see that spot. It is, yeah, it's in the orange, unfortunately, mainly. If it was the black, I feel like it would be a lot easier to hide. The orange, that might end up having some color variance. I'm going to have to make sure I cover that really well with some primer. So I'm looking at a video now of the wall that I've taken, and I'm looking at the hexagons. What's still crazy is how how many lines I got in certain areas where the shit was off, because trying to fit that stencil in certain areas and whatnot, you know, didn't work so well. And so it threw the lines off as I stretched it out weird, and then I had to redraw the lines by measuring it out and yada yada. So I've got multiple lines in certain areas of the wall, which makes it look so bad. the hexagons, I'm pretty pleased overall. Again, I haven't taken all the tape off, but I'm pretty pleased with how the hexagons currently look. As Agent Fox Mulder here saying hi.
Dude, you got a while before you get fed. You got to calm down.
Your automatic feeder's not going off for some time yet, buddy. You got to chill out. But again, yeah, the inner hexagons, I think those were the easier part. I was just thinking, yeah, I'm definitely not ever going to do this for a living, but the inner hexagon seems like the easier part. And since I knew I didn't have to worry about getting paint in other areas, because I was going to paint over it, there's a lot less concern. Although, you know, at the end of the day, even if I fuck up getting paint of the other colors, I mean, you can touch it up. It's, you know, kind of a pain in the ass to do. Like with the black, which I'm debating on what color to do next. Like, do I do the black or the orange? The orange, I think, is what I'm going to do next. But like if I did the black next and I got a little orange on that, that would be easy to cover up. I could just do some black. If I get black on the orange, Maybe I should have just done the black first. I don't know. This was just all just kind of winging it, you know? Just the whole time, just winging it. But yeah, I feel like the other two colors are going to be much harder than the red was. But I'll find out here shortly. It will. I think the thing that has kept my sanity is the fact that I just haven't. I don't have a deadline. I don't have a time that this has to be done by. I haven't set one for myself. I haven't even said like, "Ooh, I want it done by this time," because I know how this stuff goes. If I force it and just try to get it all out at one point, I'm gonna fuck it up really bad. And I just try to only work on it for a certain a certain amount of time. That is the only deadlines I've really given myself, is just a cutoff on how long I'm going to work on it on a night, or in a night. And that's like the 2-hour mark is kind of where I've gone with that, because I will get frustrated after a while and just phone it in, and it's going to, I'm going to fuck some shit up. But if I just do like sections, section it off, and yeah, the other colors, whew. They're just, that's another thing too. If I think about it too much about what's coming up, which I find it's good to have a plan on how I'm going to do the rest of it. But if I think about it too much, like how much of a pain in the ass it's going to be, like as I'm currently doing, like I'm going to get, you know, pissed off, but I'm just like, it's going to seem overwhelming, and I'm not quitting. That's for sure. They're like, I'm in it. I am past the point of no return. I'm just like running a marathon. Like, you know, I'm past the halfway mark. Well, actually, I'm more like at the third way mark. But it seems like, you know, if I'm doing an out and back run, might be not really a marathon, but if there was a marathon, I guess if I had to turn around. But I'm definitely at the point where it's easier for me to just complete it than to turn around and go quit and go back to the finish. Or, well, I mean, I guess I have to, but to go back is to, you know, finish the race, essentially. I'm too far in it, is what I'm getting at. I put too much time. There's no just painting over at this point. There are, I think I mentioned it last week, or maybe the week before, I had some issues with lines in the corners, like going around the corners with the pattern, that it's going to look a little rough. It's probably going to look a little weird. And if it looks if it's too noticeable, I don't want to do this, but I may put like a black border around the pattern just to hide the fact that I fucked the lines up in the corners. That's another thing, like, because I knew that I had fucked up those lines. I tried to get it as best as possible, and then I got so many different lines there that it's hard for me to know what it's going to look like, you know, once the paint on there. I feel like once the paint is on there, like, I feel pretty good that it's not going to be so noticeable. And I feel like I can just, I don't know. I'm optimistic about it. And I don't want to fret too much about thinking like what I would do for putting a pattern around all of that. Because, you know, drawing a straight line doesn't seem like on a piece of paper, I could do that easily. Draw a nice straight line, just get a ruler out, draw a straight line. It's a little different when you do it like on a large section of wall, especially when it's like up above a bunch of shit. You got to climb up on top of your, you know, kitchen counter and get up there. Because I don't think that drywall is 100% level. Like, I don't know that it's like when they cut it, that it's quite level. You know, if you, you want the line to line up with the drywall, but also you want it to like be level with the top of the ceiling. You don't want, you know, and I think that drywall is a little off. So that's going to draw, fuck my line up a little bit, you know? That's going to be, I want a nice border and I want it to look right. So, I mean, that just doing a border seems like it could be a pain in the ass. Then do I do the border in just the corners? Would that look okay? And then not just where the corners meet up, and I'm saying not like in the top and the bottom, so just the sides essentially. These are things I'm just not going to know until I get up there. I figure I'll just put up some painter's tape to kind of get an idea of like how it would look. Because I could just run a real fine strip of painter's tape. And then I would know, get an idea how that would look with the border. But again, I still need to, we're a long ways off from that. I'm probably at least a month away from that. Maybe more. As, yeah, it's a slow process. I can't imagine if I did this as a job, though. It would frustrate the shit out of me. Again, the big part of why I'm able to do this is because I don't have a deadline set. I'm not working on it for long periods of time. I can just do it with a little bit of ease and knowing that, again, to remind myself that I am fucking parts of it up as I go along, and then at the end, I can do stuff to fix it. So it's try to tell myself like, oh, low pressure, and then, you know, I could always paint over it. But at this point, like, I've put so much work in there, I don't want to paint over this. It is definitely not something I want to do. But on other news front, I guess I did get around to doing my taxes finally. I did get money back. Only because the no tax on overtime, so that's a plus. Or however they worked out with the overtime. I worked a lot of fucking overtime. A lot of fucking overtime. Which I'm kind of missing at the moment. I don't want to work the hours, but the larger paychecks are nice. As I didn't go out and spend a whole lot of money because because the whole home equity loan that I spent a lot on. I need to pay all that back, you know. But yeah, I haven't I haven't gotten the tax money back yet either. There's can't really get too crazy with it, but spending that money. But I was talking about going to the Friday the 13th Pride game for the Blues. Which, going to a hockey game on Friday the 13th sounded amazing. I skipped out on it because today I am going climbing again. I almost said hiking, but going climbing again. So I'll be doing that later. And I didn't want to spend money going out to the Blues game. And honestly, going after work, which I'm going to be doing this on the Star Wars night at the end of the month here. But I don't really like driving into St. Louis after working, you know. But I didn't want to spend money going driving out and going doing climbing and then also doing the Blues game this weekend. So trying to cut back on my spending. Because, again, you know, the home equity loan, got to pay that fucker back. And my overtime's gone. So, anyway, fuck, I really wish I would have gone to that game, though. Fuck, that game last night, I did watch it. While also, I did do one coat of paint while the game was going on. But fucking shit, the Blues are kicking ass right now. Shit, man, they beat the Edmonton Oilers last night. Came back to win it, 3-2. And the boys are looking good. It's a shame Schenner's not there. You know, they're doing this without their captain. Which he was there up until like a week ago. But because they did trade him, fun fact, his jersey is on sale at STL Authentics. So if you go on there, on their online, you can get a Shen jersey for like half off. And I did that. That is one of the things I did with, because I knew I was getting my tax money. I was like, you know what? I love Braden Shen. And I mean, you know, he was a big part of winning the cup. And he's been the captain for the last like three seasons. And I think he was a great captain. He was a great captain. Love me some Braden Shen. I hope that at some point, you know, I imagine, he's getting older. I don't think he's going to play too many more years. I don't think he'll probably make his way back to the Blues at some point. But I hope at least like at the when his career wraps up that he comes back to St. Louis in some capacity. That he'll be around the St. Louis area because, you know, he's a big part of the Blues. And just seems like a great dude. I've never met him. I've never met any of the Blues players. I pretty much walked right into Cujo. That's the most I've interaction. I was just kind of dumbfounded. I might have actually bumped into him. I don't recall for sure. But holy shit, that was awesome. But I mean, it would be great. I mean, Shen, I imagine he's still probably going to be involved with the charities he's involved in the St. Louis area. Some capacity. But I would hope, you know, he was in St. Louis for so long. And, I mean, him and Jake Neighbors are real close. And, you know, I would imagine with pretty much all the guys on the team, him being the captain and all. And, it would be great to have him somehow involved with the Blues organization after his retirement. I think you got to have him in the Blues Hall of Fame at some point. You know, again, he's still got a few years, at least a few years to play left in his career. He's not done. And that, it looks like the Islanders are going to make the playoffs. So, you know, he'll get at least another chance at the playoffs. But fuck, man, it looks like the Blues just might sneak back into the playoffs again. They are, as I believe I'm recording this, you know, it will be, yeah, as I'm recording this, I think I had, pretty sure they're 5 points back of, the LA Kings, which are sitting right now at that last wild card spot in the playoffs. And, it's been that last wild card spot's changing like on a daily basis. The Sharks were in it up until, I guess, the Kings won yesterday. Then the Kings moved ahead. And the Sharks were only in there briefly as the Seattle Kraken had that spot like the day before that. It's going to come down to the last day. 5 points back, though. I think they've got 16 or 17 games left. I'm not sure. And most of those other teams that are currently ahead of them, I think, have a game in hand. So they haven't played as many games as the Blues. So it's going to be tough. They have to basically win out and hope that, you know, the other teams lose the majority of their games. Like, it's, but there's a chance. There's a chance. And this is the St. Louis Blues, man. They have a history of doing this, you know, since at least the cup year. That is, I mean, they should not have been in the playoffs the year they won the cup. And last year, they probably shouldn't have made the playoffs, but they won 12 fucking straight games last season and were just so dominant those last like 2 months of hockey. And fucking made their way. I wish they could, you know, maybe use some of that at the beginning of the season. It would make it easier and maybe more of a guarantee that they make the playoffs. Can we just try that, fellas? But, you know, I'm not going to get too butt sore if they don't make the playoffs. But it's to think that they could make the playoffs again. Yeah, I'm pretty excited that I'm a person that doesn't believe in a team tanking like that. And there's so many people like Blues fans out there. Oh, just tank and get the, you know, the highest draft pick you can get. And so you can get more younger talent. I hate that. Especially in hockey. Because you got, regardless if your team's going to make the playoffs or not, you've got fans that pay good money to go see your games, every game. And the Blues games, I mean, there's always people at the Blues games, you know, and they want to see their team do good. They're not going there like, oh, well, they're tanking. What the fuck should I care about this game, you know? At least I want to go to a game regardless of whether or not they're going to make the playoffs because it's just a good time. And I'd prefer to see them, you know, put some effort in. I don't think it creates the right mindset when you just tank a season that for especially the young players to be like, oh, fuck it. Let's not even put any effort in. Let's just like tank it so we can do better next year. As a player, I don't think that makes any sense whatsoever because you're always playing for your contract, you know, like it makes no sense that you would not push hard. I think you got to push hard and try to win every fucking game. It really makes no sense to be like, you know what, fellas, let the other team win. Well, and that's just also, I mean, that's just not, I know, you know, certain teams will do that and tank. I just don't like the idea of that. And it drives me nuts, mainly, I guess, nowadays, because, like, looking at Instagram and seeing, you know, like, the Blues post about the games and whatnot, and then you hear so many people, start tanking. Like, no. What are you going to do, pull the goalie in the first period? you've got only a certain amount of games, too. For players to get that experience you have to, training only does so much, you know, outside of playing games. That will only get you ready somewhat, you know? And, if you want to get good and like, you just got to like go out there and play and to play their hardest. You're not going to be like, okay, we're just going to tank tonight, man. It's just, I hate it. No tanking. No tanking, fuckers, which is exciting that they are, they still have that chance. And well, it looks like they're just going out and having fun. Really. The team's, I mean, they're clicking. Jimmy Snuggerud, holy shit. I think next season, he's doing really great right now. He is, like, on fire. And, man, I think he might be able to score, like, 30 goals or so next season. Or at least, he's going to have some points next year. Robert Thomas, I think, might have taken the lead last night for the Blues. I think Robert Thomas might have the lead of like 16 goals this season, which isn't much. The Blues just, they have, it's been a weird year. It's been a weird year where like everybody's been on the struggle bus at one point in time or another this season. But there's reason to be jacked, I think, for next season. But man, it would have been awesome to go to that game last night. It's odd that they chose Friday the 13th for the Pride night, but it would have been so awesome to go to that game and wear my Jason Voorhees mask. I think I would like definitely would have gotten on the Jumbotron. That would have been so awesome. Man, if there's ever a Friday the 13th game again, I have to fucking go to it. I'll have to plan in advance and make sure I'm good to go. Like, I feel saddened I didn't go. I did, however, though, I did pull out and I whip it out the Friday the 13th Part 8. And I watched that on, of course, the projector. And I just came back from a really long break, though you wouldn't know it had I not said anything. I paused because my friend John came over with this sudden bracket as we were going to go climbing. And I didn't think he was going to be over that early. I thought he could knock out a podcast. Turns out he didn't have that much time. I figured I wouldn't see him for another, 30, 40 minutes. But yeah, I paused. And I don't exactly remember. I didn't go back and listen to what I had previously recorded. So I know I talked about painting. There was definitely talk about painting. I don't have anything else to say about that. I know that at the moment. I didn't finish pulling any tape or do anything with that. But I did go climbing again today. And we went to the... the Upper Limits, I believe it is, over in Maryland Heights. Let me pull up their website. We actually, I wanted to check it out because they have three locations in and around here-ish. There's one in Bloomington, Illinois, which I think is a bit far from here. I'm not sure where at in Illinois that is. Can I not see here? Control C. I'm just curious to see here. Maps. As I am just going to look here. Control V. Copy paste. Let's see how long of a fucking drive we're looking at. Where is this from me, you sons of bitches? Why not just put a pin there and fuck, I don't remember how to just use it. Maybe I'll send it to my phone. did that work? Oh, here we go. Here we go. 3 hour drive. Yeah, that's way too far. I am not going to that one. Although it looks cool. It looks cool. I mean, if it was worth it, they do have other stuff. All these gyms that they have different things at. It does look like the one in Bloomington has this cool, it looks like the inside of a silo or something. It's just like a really, looks like a fairly tall tower. Those pictures of this kind of stuff can be a bit deceptive. But it's just a round tube you're climbing in. I'm curious to see what that would be like. Don't want to drive 3 hours to do it, though. So here's the scoop. I figured John would want to do the taller climbs and then use the auto belay to drop back down. I figured that would seem to be more of what he was interested in, though I wanted to do more of some bouldering. And it seemed like since we had his son with us, he's Brecken's either 8 or 9-ish. I forgot how old he is. I'm horrible. Anyway, it seemed that the Chesterfield location had more stuff, activities that were geared towards children. Like there is all ages climbing there. There's a lot of bouldering. But at the... at that location, there wasn't any like taller walls. I didn't know that by really looking at their website. And so I was curious, and it ended up only being like a 20-minute drive from Chesterfield to the Maryland Heights location. So we went in there before we, paid to do it. It was just like, okay, I could tell John was like putting it on me. Like, what do you want to do? Like I know he wanted the taller walls to do the belays. And I knew if I didn't go and do the auto belay and then jump from the top, he would just rib me forever. So I was like, we got to go do the walls with the auto belays. Though the Chesterfield location has a lot of bouldering to do. And, looked like definitely something I would want to check out at some point. Now, the Maryland Heights one had a lot taller climbs than the one there in Chesterfield. And it had, I think, there were more spots where you could use an auto belay. Because with the auto belay, you don't need to take like a course with doing a normal belay or your elite climbing. You have to do rock climbing 101 courses. And so I knew that was going to be, you know, a bit of an issue. Since I haven't done any intro to climbing or there's different courses you could take. Top rope. I guess top rope, maybe is that for elite climbing? I'm not sure. But I'm not sure how the courses work. There is stuff about it on their website. But let me just see here. Okay, this is what it says. Intro to climbing. Oh, that's 404. There's, I guess, four different courses in your intro to climbing. Here we go with Evan B. Seven weeks. Is that what that said? Oh, seven spaces. Okay. Says, according to this, okay, instructor Evan B., start off right. This four-week course teaches the basic skills, techniques, and history of the sport of climbing. Introduction to rock climbing combines our top rope 101 and technique courses, plus additional training and instruction. This is an ideal course for those interested beginning the sport or those looking to enhance their climbing knowledge. Includes instruction, rental gear, and unlimited climbing outside of scheduled instruction times for duration of class. That's good. So you can just climb. We just got a day pass for today. Okay. So anyway, classes are 2 hours in length and held once a week for 4 weeks. That's not bad. I'd have to do it like right away if I wanted to do it though, because overtime is right around the corner, I would imagine. Saturday's going to be a problem. Participants must be 14 years or older. Anyone under 18 must have a waiver signed by a parent or legal guardian. Cost is $125. Well, $124.95 for a four-week session. I don't think that's terrible for doing the course. And then be able to do the belay. It's tempting. It's tempting. On the 22nd, I could start. Yeah, next weekend is week one. There would be a space open for that. Where that's the intro to climbing is a little bit more advanced, I guess. There's the top rope 101. Okay, this one's learn the ropes in the introductory class. After taking this two-hour class, so it would just be one course, students will have the proper knowledge and technique to top rope climb indoors. Teaches safety procedures, proper belay technique, knot tying, and equipment usage. Class sizes are limited to ensure proper attention from the instructor for each student. Classes are offered 5 days a week, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Sign up today. Individual pricing is $49.95 per person. Upper limits member pricing is $42.95 per person. So, good to know. Good to know. As I will probably at some point take the course. I don't know if I want to do the 4 week one. Because that could be a little difficult. I start overtime and then all of a sudden I can't take those courses. Because I can really only make it there on the weekends. And if I got to work that day, that's going to be a problem. But this is interesting. Yeah. I mean, I definitely would do probably the top rope one. Not necessarily the... Yeah, the other one, because that is a little bit more pricey. And but yeah, it cost with renting all the equipment that I had for it. It is cheaper for children. I don't remember what the age breakdown is. I got a day pass, so we could go all day while we're there, and rented a chalk bag, harness, and shoes, and it came out to be like $38 for the day pass. And renting all that equipment. I already bought a chalk bag. John and I have both bought a chalk bag. It's got a nice little animal on it. Definitely. I mean, I'm going to do it again. So I imagine I'm going to have to buy some shoes. Wearing rental shoes is just not great. You know, one sanitary reason. I don't want fungus on my feet. And Yeah, this just not good, you know. And you get your own shoes. You can wear them without socks. Though I feel a little weird not wearing socks. Maybe I'll choose to wear the socks anyway. Apparently, that's a big sign that you're a newbie if you're in there wearing socks. But yeah, I think it was decent pricing. I don't know about... Oh, here's memberships. Yeah, adult day pass. Just the day pass for an adult is $22.95. So that's without rentals. And then you get a child day pass for 10 and under, which was $20.95. So you get like $2 off. And then there's the military / EMT / first responders pay $19.95. So that's a good deal, I think. I mean, it's not bad for, I mean, you get a hell of a workout and it's a day pass. You're not like, there is a difference. So at the Chesterfield location, they have the, section called Wacky Walls. That's for children. As, Agent Fox Mulder's wanted to look out the window as, I guess I'll do it in the other room. I don't like it when I have the window open in here and people would just look in. I'm going to have to pause for a minute. All right. He seemed to be well distracted with opening not opening the window, but opening the blinds. but yeah, anyway, there's, you get the rental package, the harness, shoes, and belay device or chalk bag for $12.95, which is, I guess, what I ended up doing. I didn't have to rent a belay device because I used the auto belay. But yeah, I got everything else. There is a ladies' night. Fun fact: there's a lady night. Monday nights are ladies' night at Upper Limits after 5 p.m. Women 18 and older climb for only $17.95. And then there's academia night. So students on Wednesdays after 5 p.m., teachers and students with a valid student ID or school ID climb for only $17.95. And then there's a couple nights on Fridays. So I'm not going on Fridays. I'm not going on Mondays either. I'm not going during the week. I'll probably stick to Saturdays. Looking for an excited date night, Friday nights or couples night at Upper Limits after 5 p.m. Get a buy one, get one off day pass. Is that one get one free? It doesn't. BOGO, buy one, get one day pass. Well, fuck. Does the couple have to be somebody you're fucking with? So maybe if John and I just go there, do we have to make out to get the... I mean, we could get half off. It says buy one, get one, though. It doesn't buy one, get one free, or buy one, get one half off, or what is the deal? That I do not know. we could just get some rings, pretend we're married, you know? Anyway, yeah, I'll be going back. I'm glad that we at least stopped in the other Upper Limits location and that we've gone to Upper Limits now and Climb So Ill. We've only been to the Climb So Ill in, it's somewhere up in the St. Louis area. I forgot the, So Ill. There we go. As, don't particularly recall the, okay, here, locations. I will accept your cookies. See here. The power plant is, well, just because it says St. Louis, Missouri. Thought maybe there was a little bit more to that address than just St. Louis. But the power plant is the one we went to. The steel plant in St. Charles. Wouldn't mind checking that out at some point. As I'm getting alerts about my power usage. Fuckers. Anyway, yeah, I guess that is considered downtown St. Louis. I thought maybe that was a little outside of the official city limits, that maybe it was considered something else, but I guess that is considered downtown St. Louis. It's on 1419 Carroll Street, and comparing the upper limits there in Maryland Heights to that Climb So Ill, I think they had better bouldering, although, you know, I haven't really gotten into bouldering. I'm still just a noob on all this shit. I have watched a lot of Magnus Mitbo and other climbing YouTubers and what have you in the last week. but it does seem that the power plant location, at least, doesn't have as much bouldering. There was a couple of spots that had belays, the auto belays, that is, whereas it seemed like there was more spots that used the auto belay. Maybe it was about the same. I'm not sure, because they were kind of split up at the upper limits. And they had... it just seemed like the rope climbing. Oh man, I think the upper limits of Maryland Heights just had more, but I don't know. It's set up different. Like the stuff was spaced out more. The climb so ill. Like if you're into that shit, I would suggest just checking them all out. You know, why not? If you're gonna keep doing it, just figure out which place you like the best. And I find I don't know that I saw everything quite at the climb so well. I feel like there might have been a few other things there at the location. But yeah, I don't know what the St. Charles location at climb so well. There's like a different, I don't know if it's the same spot, but they have the steel shop, which, oh man, they have a nice little video to give you a little intro into it. Oh man, the St. Charles climb so ill looks shit. We might have to go to that one. Wow. That looks pretty involved. I almost regret not going to this one. This video looks like there's a lot of bouldering and shit, quite a bit. An open gym, man, that gym, they are not fucking around with these weights. Dude. Oh man. Fuck. Yeah, okay. The steel shop over in St. Charles. Might have to go check that one out. This video looks like it might be misleading, but there is a lot going on at there, that location. It is cool that they have a video. I feel like I get a much better feel than just like at the, all I'm seeing on the upper limits is static photos that don't move. Give you a real, I guess the gravity lab is also inside there, and it gives you other things to climb up, which I believe you can just use regular shoes. You don't have to wear the climbing shoes for that. But the gravity lab, I think, is primarily meant for kids. but, oh, man, that looks pretty awesome in there. Although, I don't know, that video seemed like kind of misleading. It seems like there is big. Again, I don't know how tall the climbs are in there. It seemed like there was some decent tall, like this one here. This one looks pretty fucking tall. That one does look really tall. A lot of bouldering, too. A lot of bouldering. It seems like more bouldering than definitely at that Maryland Heights location of upper limits. But again, I don't know. The shit's deceptive until you really get in there. Wow, they've definitely got a lot of shit going on there. You can take yoga, do all kinds of shit. But anyway, back to me actually climbing. I knew that there was no way that I could, you know, I had to get to a point where I was going to jump from the top. I didn't know if I was going to be able to do that. Because how I reacted the first time I went, where I just could not trust that auto belay device. I'm trying to look at the membership costs here, and I'm just not seeing an option for just anyway. I don't know how much it is per month to just join up. Anyway. That's a question for another time. I should probably just stop looking at this. That'll work. I didn't know how I was going to react. And I'd been thinking about it all week. I'd been watching these videos. Almost feel like the first time I went, I'd say my initial feeling, I wasn't as nervous. I think I was way more nervous going into it this time, already knowing that I'd been getting shit for a straight week for not climbing or for not dropping from the top. And then I felt like if I didn't do it this time, man, I will never hear the end of this shit. And so when I got there, and I was nervous, man, I realized it was a hell of a workout, and I was nervous, way more nervous climbing at first the second time around than the first. Like the first time, I was just more jacked. Then I didn't really know what I was getting myself into without really doing it before. Now that I felt like I really had to live up to, I had to prove that I could man up, I guess. But it was weird because, like, before, like, I would get to the top and it wasn't like I was, like, shaking petrified, but my nerves were a little bit this time around. I was a little like, oh, shit, a little nervous. And I did climb to the top. I was doing, you know, easy stuff. I was not going to, what do they have, like, I don't know how high the Vs go. I know the V, like V1. I guess there's a V0. I think there might be a V0. I don't know. I was mainly doing like V1 stuff. I wasn't really honestly paying attention to tags. I tried some higher stuff, but I just couldn't make it all the way up. Because, yeah, there's my grip strength isn't that great. And trying to hold on to little spots, little hard. But you got to progress. You got to do it a lot to be able to continue doing it. And I did climb to the top immediately of, again, like easier ones. I was going to easy ones, like the easiest auto belay ones you could do. I was doing it. And I did climb to the top right off the jump, but I did climb down pretty much to the ground before I would jump off. But I kept climbing up a little bit and jumping off, and just I did it several times without, you know, going all the way up and just like getting a feel for it, until then I did get to the top and like jump down. And of course John and Brecken didn't see it when I did jump down the first time. They were, I guess, getting some drinks and some snacks when I was like jumping off the top. And so the first time I did it, they didn't see it at all, of course. I'm like, that's great. That's just fantastic. But then once I did it the first time, and I knew that I could trust the device, and I knew how it was going to feel and how it was react, and I was able to, like, the first time I went, like, when I would drop down, I think it doesn't work as good also when you're higher up, or when you're lower to the ground, I mean, rather. And because it seems like it takes a little bit for it to really kick in properly. I feel like when you have a regular belay and there's somebody, you know, doing the rope for you, that it's a lot easier because they can just lower you down at whatever speed, a much slower speed. And Unfortunately, they didn't see it the first couple times I dropped down from all the way at the top. So Brecken is, you know, talking mad shit to me, going like, oh, I jumped down from like way higher than you. And it was like he jumped down from the same height I did initially. So I'm like, man, I'm getting shit talked by a fucking 9-year-old. Like, God damn it, I got a man up. So, you know, I did. And of course, they didn't see it initially when I dropped down from the top. And so I had to do it many more times and eventually we did get video of me dropping down and of course Brecken dropping. And so we had to send videos of both of us jumping from the top so that John could then send it to our boss, who she was scared of. I feel kind of bad for, you know, kind of adding on to like giving her shit over that. Because, you know, I feel like if she goes out and somebody's not constantly heckling her about it and she just takes it easy and do what I did, to where you gotta earn that trust, you know, to just jump without knowing what's going to happen, even though they tell you it's, you know, everything's fine. And just, you got to do it until, you know, you got to feel comfortable with it at first. At least in my opinion and, you know, what worked for me. Again, I think those normal belays, I don't know that I'll ever get to a point where I'm doing elite climbing where you have to clip in all the time. And that shit, that seems... I'm going to have to be in it a couple of years before I would consider that. Now, doing, you know, a team effort where you got somebody belaying for you, that seems like you get a lot more options of where to climb, like if you're doing, like, the tall climbs. I mean, other than that, bouldering, there's, of course, some really hard shit you can get into, and you're not using a rope, which that can get real dangerous, you know, because if you... don't fall properly and you don't have a rope. Though I did jump on down from there. I did climb up one area. It wasn't like the tallest area in the bouldering area, but I did jump down. I did climb down a little bit first, not a whole lot. There was no belay. really, I was just like, let's see if I can fall properly. I did land on my legs and did, you know, like roll back into a ball. You want to fall on your butt. Don't put your hands back and just kind of ball up. And so I did that. It worked out. I was but I wasn't getting real crazy. I figured I'd climb down a little bit. I don't want to injure myself. They do have it, of course, on that one in the bouldering at the Maryland Heights one. You can climb on the top of that section, and then you have to walk. There's a area you walk in the back, and then there's a spot for you to climb down if you climb on top of the boulder instead of just jumping back down from, because it's kind of high up. I mean, I don't think you're going to die, but you know, you don't land right, you can sprain something. It could be you could have a bad day that could turn into a bad couple months, you know. It could be rough. Anyway. Yeah, I'm going to do it again. It's going to happen. How often I do it? Like, I can't do it real often. Can't do it like every, you know, probably not even every week. But I'll definitely do it some more. I got to get some of my own shoes. That's for sure. Doing the rental shoes, not great. One, you know, the fit, you want to have something that other people haven't worn down. And, you know, fungus, got to worry about that shit. Don't want my feet to rot off. And I'll have a lot more options than shoes, I think. Getting the shoes, I thought about buying them when I was there, honestly. They had, like, some of them were like 25% off, which they can get really pricey. I've seen some for well over $200. The ones were like $130 that were like 25% off, so they were like a little, 100-ish. I think $129. I don't remember exactly. It was like $129, and I want to say, let's see here. So it'd be, oh man, it'd be a slightly less than a hundo, because that'd be, yeah, $32.25 off, so in 90 something dollars. So that would have been a good deal. I probably should have tried to hook that up. But hopefully, I don't know, I might try to go to REI. I don't know if they've got any good sales. REI is, of course, a big store that's got outdoor shit. And so, oh yeah, they've got plenty of shit on climbing. I wanted to go somewhere, you know, where they have a lot of options. But I want to go, I thought maybe it would be better to go to the gym, the climbing gym, to do it. So that way I would imagine REI probably has, you know, people that are familiar with climbing, because it's a lot of what's at REI is, rock climbing shit. So I would think that buying shoes would definitely be, you know, that they would be able to have advice. But yeah, basically, you know, I want to be able to, I don't want to buy this shit online is what I'm saying, to where I wouldn't have to worry about any of the fit of the shoe, because like the shoes that they had there at Upper Limits, they tend to be a little small. And so I really want to try them on. Now, if I get a brand I like, you know, eventually, and if I have to buy another pair of shoes, if I manage to wear one of them out, which I don't see myself climbing that much, I want to be able to, yeah, I just want to be able to get a pair and then, you know, try them out a little bit, you know, just to get the feel. Nothing too fucking crazy. Oh, they do have some sales on some stuff. So there might be a trip to REI in my future. It does look like there's some decent sales on some shit. I am looking at it currently, but you know, they all just look like shoes to me. Like, I don't know what the difference of the shit is. I see a big jump in prices. And I know that there's differences between, you know, bouldering shoes and, you know, outdoor climbing and what have you. You want, you know, different, there's different grades of stuff. I'm not going to be the elite level at all. There is no reason for me to get too crazy with the fucking shoes. I doubt I'll be putting that much work into them anyway. But yeah, it'll be, I definitely need to get some shoes. Got the chalk bag. I don't know. The harness, I can wait on the harness. I'm getting a harness. The chalk bag was like, with the chalk, it was like 40-something bucks. So, like, it wasn't crazy expensive. Although I spent a little, I had to buy a sock, too, a chalk sock. So it was like 50-something. Like, with the chalk bag. The chalk bag, I think, was like 38 or 37, something like that. So the chalk bag's not, like, obscenely expensive for a one-time buy. I don't think I'm ever going to have to buy a chalk bag again. I waived those. That was like the cheapest of the things to buy. So I was like, let's get a chalk bag, you know. Well, John was the one that like really pushed for that, which I was kind of thinking of the chalk bag. I was looking at the chalk bag. They're like, these are kind of cool chalk bags. And then so I was like, ah, fuck. Like, all right. He said he was going to get it. Like, so he talked me into getting a chalk bag too. So I was like, all right, let's get some chalk bags. So yeah, I've got my own chalk bag. So now I have to go back because I'm invested. I have an investment and I have to pay off that investment ish. Yeah, I would just wish there was a climbing gym that was closer, like just half the distance. So I mean, that's like, if I were to go there during the week, that's like basically, even the Chesterfield one, if I were to go there, it's still a 50-minute drive. It's damn near an hour. 10 minutes shy. So we're looking at an hour and... it is... I mean, that's like an hour and 40 minutes of driving in one night. That's damn near 2 hours. With traffic, that's like 2 hours going during the week. 2 hours of just driving. And however long I'm there, you know, I'm going to want to at least spend a good hour or two there to feel like I got my money's worth. I don't think the memberships, I'm trying to see like what the memberships cost. I'm seeing just a, oh, here's the one for individual, for Climb So Ill. The one on Upper Limits, I don't know. That one's a little confusing. There's an individual for $83 a month, and you get access to two world-class gyms, unlimited climbing plus fitness, unlimited yoga plus fitness classes, early in hours, free rental gear for the first 30 days, one guest pass per month. My brain just doesn't work anymore. 15% off in the retail shops. That's nice. 15% off rental gear excludes ropes. 15% off Gravity Lab, 15% off instructional classes, and 15% off private coaching. So, I mean, $83 a month, if I, you know, cut down spending some other areas, wouldn't be ridiculous. I would hope for a little bit less, like maybe 50. But again, I don't see myself doing a membership because I'm only going to do this like, what, maybe two times a month? Maybe a little bit more currently. But depending on, you know, income status, like what, you know, how bad I'm struggling at the time. It's definitely a big if. Oh, here we go. Oh, it is a little bit cheaper at the upper limits. But there's different memberships. You got the Maryland Heights one. It's $72.95 per month, which is a little bit better. You know, it's $10 cheaper, essentially. $49.95 initiation fee. Unlimited climbing at the Maryland Heights gym. Access to special... This is like their, I guess, normal membership. Access to special member-only events. 15% off all pro shop items and indoor climbing classes. One first-time guest pass per month. And then 15% off first session or series at the Root of Motion. I don't know what the Root of Motion is. And then your gold membership, which is the same price as your membership for Climb So Will. It's $82.95 per month. It is a $49.95 initiation fee, which I guess is just a one-time fee. And then unlimited climbing in all three gyms. So the regular one, okay, is just the Maryland Heights. But the all three gyms, of course, include the Maryland Heights, the Chesterfield, and the Bloomington, Illinois. And 15% off all pro shop items and indoor climbing classes. One first time guest pass per month. 15% off first session of the series at the Root of Motion. So basically, it's another $10 a month if you want access to all three gyms. Is the what I'm gathering the difference is. So it's like, I don't know. Would I jump back? Want to jump back and forth? You can do. If you do more than one person, you can get, it's cheaper. So that's cool. Because they have gold monthly, this is with gold month monthly membership. You can do, which I guess you get a discount too as far as just the one pass. Or anyway. The first member is $82.95 with the gold. Second member is $69.95. Third member must be under 18 for $29.95. So if you're doing a family thing, does it count for friends? I guess it's considered, let's see here, information. What is the information? Consider family members. I think we're Six Flags. You just do with friends where we do like a family thing. Good to know. I probably not doing a membership thing, but it's nice to know, you know, maybe in the future I want to do that. They have, where's the, goddamn it. Okay, here we go. There is a 10 punch pass. So you can purchase a 10 punch pass for only $184.95. Punches can be used for admission to any upper limits location. So that gets you in 10 times. And so, what is it, 20-something per? So, like, you're saving some money there if you do the 10 punch. So if you're going a lot and you don't want to pay for just a full-on membership, which, I mean, if I'm going, like, twice per month, you know, that'd be, and I'm continuously doing it, maybe I'll do that in the future. As of right now, I'm not going to buy a membership, but we'll see just how much I end up doing. Again, it can get a little costly, especially now with the war in Iran. It's not excursion. It's definitely not an excursion, because as far as I know, there's never been any war or military action considered an excursion, like the president's calling it. They tend to call them incursions. It's definitely a war, and we are, you know, Iran is blocking 20% of the world's oil off, so, you know, that's already a thing, and we're attacking Iran's biggest oil refineries, so I expect gas to go through the fucking roof. So maybe I've already had my moments in the sun over at Upper Limits Climb So Will. We'll see what happens. That's really all I've got. I'm going to wrap this up. My throat's hurting a little bit. Been talking a lot, been doing a lot of shit. And my arms are feeling better. I got some Icy Hot on now. And now that I'm not lifting my arms up, I say that until I go to pick something up or lift my arms above my head. I do have to pull the rest of that tape off the wall. So I imagine that's going to be fun. getting on top of the ladder, it's not like I have to reach my hands above my head much. I can just, you know, get on top of the ladder and then just peel it off. I think I'll be all right, but we'll see. Maybe I got to go and just hit up Dick's here in town. I think they've got climbing shoes, but I don't think they probably have a whole lot of people there that fucking climb here in town, but maybe. The question is, like, I probably need to go to REI or just get from one of the rock climbing gyms. I keep saying rock climbing, but it's just a climbing gym. There's no real rocks in there. It's bouldering. Well, anyway, that is a kid in a wheelchair, not a trash can.